Don't worry. I might need this. Oh, sorry. I hope that wasn't important. It's all right. It's not my sermon notes. You're fine. Great. You're always told if you're going to talk publicly not to mention sport, because sport immediately alienates half of the people in the room who don't really like sport. But the reality is that there is so much good sport happening at the moment that I couldn't resist the temptation. So I need a couple of volunteers. Well, more than a couple. Hang on, you don't know what you're meant to be doing yet. Firstly, I need... Well, maybe that's probably for the best. No, firstly, I need a volunteer who likes football. Great, your hand was up really quickly. Come up, come up. Oh, no, I hope I've got all my props. What's your name and where'd you... Oh, hello. What's your name and where'd you come from?
I'm Luke and I come from Bromley.
Wonderful. That is a great name and a great place to live. You have this. You can wear it if you want. It is old, but it's clean. You're wearing a fleece. Are you cold?
No.
Okay, great. Well, probably because you're wearing a fleece. I hope you don't get cold now. Great. Do you want me to take that for you? Excellent. It's got Rooney's name on the back of it. You've probably never even heard of Wayne Rooney, have you? Okay, good. Who's your favourite footballer?
I don't have one.
Okay, great. That's absolutely fine. And could you tell us one rule of football?
Throw-ins, when it goes out the pitch, you throw it back in with your hands behind your head.
Just like that. Perfect. Good demonstration of a throw-in. I was hoping you'd explain the offside rule, but never mind. We'll come back to that. Great. So we've got someone who likes football, someone who's explained to us a rule of football. Let's go for next. Does anybody like cricket? You can't go for two things. I mean, you're allowed... Great, go for it. Your hand was up super quick. I don't know why I'm using all the microphones. I've got about 10 microphones. What's your name and where do you come from?
Lucy, and I come from Bromley.
Wow, there's a theme coming. There's a theme occurring here. Yeah, I mean, I know that. That's great. Who's the best sibling?
Me.
Perfect. Good. So football, have you been watching any of the Women's World Cup?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Were you gutted when England lost in the semi-final?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, we'll come back to that. And have you been watching any of the Cricket World Cup?
Not really.
No? Great. Fair enough. Good chat. I was a bit limited on cricket props. So there's a six and there's a four. And then also there is a there's a cricket bat. That's not mine. It might look like it's my size, but it's not mine. Great. All good. What have we got next? Anybody like golf? Wow, your hand was up super quick. That's exciting. If anyone was here a few weeks ago, we promise we're not going to hit any golf balls at you today, just in case you were concerned. Great, why don't you come and stand here? So, how excited are you about the Christchurch Beckenham Men's Golf Day tomorrow? How excited are you about the Open Championship in 2 weeks' time? Great, wonderful. Do you play golf?
Sometimes.
Great, perfect. Oh, I forgot to ask you, do you know a rule of cricket?
Well, if it goes over the boundary without it touching the floor, then you get a six.
Woo! Great, wonderful. Nice. And do you know a rule of golf?
No.
No, neither do I. I think you score however many on a hole, then take one off before you write it down on your scorecard. That's perfect. Wonderful. And anyone like tennis? Oh, there's a cheer for tennis. That's good. Let's go right at the back. Is that a Crystal Palace shirt I can see over there? Great, come on up. Did I ask you your name? I didn't ask you your name.
Emily.
Pardon? A bit louder so people can hear.
Emily.
And where do you come from?
Beckenham.
And you're not related to them?
No.
Oh, that's a pity. Wonderful. Wow, you came prepared for this morning. Well done. That's really good. But what's your name?
Edward.
Edward, do you like football?
Yeah.
Have you just been playing football?
Yes.
Wonderful. How did you get on?
Good.
Good. Did you win?
No.
Okay, well, it's the taking part that counts. But you like tennis as well. Have that. Anyone watched any Wimbledon this week? Anyone been to Wimbledon this week? Oh, jealous much. You're not allowed that. A rule of tennis.
You can't hit the ball into the net, otherwise you lose a point.
You can't hit the ball. I never quite mastered that one, but it's true. You can't hit the ball into the net, otherwise you lose the point. Wonderful. You guys, feel free to kind of spread out along the step and so that people can see you and you can remind people of what we're thinking about this. Go over there. Keep moving. Perfect. Wonderful. So, you're probably wondering, and I must admit I'm wondering a little bit as well, what have these things got to do with our Bible reading this morning? It may be a little bit of a stretch, but I kind of feel like the words that we heard from Ecclesiastes, wonderfully read to us, the wisdom of Solomon, it's a little bit like the words of a coach that you might expect to hear at halftime or during a timeout or during a coaching break. But these aren't words about a particular sport. They're words about the whole of life. We don't have time to go into the whole. We heard a whole chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we don't have time to look at all of the verses in detail. But I think if I had to pick out one kind of standout verse, it would be verse 9. And if you've got it open in front of you, it says this: follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eye sees, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eye sees, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Just like a good coach might say at halftime, the writer or the preacher in Ecclesiastes is saying, go out there, live passionately, follow your heart, do your best, don't hold anything back, don't leave anything in the tank. He's saying, go out there and live passionately, with your whole heart, follow your heart. But then he says, remember that this life, that this game has rules. We're called to live passionately and wholeheartedly, but we're called to live within the confines, within the boundaries set within life itself. Now, these rules aren't just random. They're not there to take away the fun. They're actually rules that are ordained, that are created by the creator of life himself. They're rules that allow us to know what it is to live life to the full. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus says, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But speaking of himself, Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. If Jesus is meant to show us what God is all about, then Jesus is saying that actually the very heart of God is that I might know abundant life, life to the full. You might know what it is to live a full life. Those rules that we mentioned in our various sports aren't there to take away your fun, are they? They're there to make that game work. Actually, at Wimbledon, it would be ridiculous if one player decided that they were going to run or jump over their net and rugby tackle the other player to the floor and leave him on the ground and then quickly run back and serve while he was rolling around on the floor. That just wouldn't work, would it? It wouldn't be tennis. Golf, it wouldn't work if you decided, I'm going to put the ball in my pocket, walk 300 yards down the fairway, and then just drop it down on the floor again or on the grass. That just wouldn't work, would it? I mean, it might work for a short time, but you'd probably get found out and it's not within the rules of the game.
If you're playing on your own, it would work.
If you're playing on your own, it would work. But I'm not sure you'd ever improve, would you? You might be able to cheat yourself for a short time, but you'd never be able to cheat yourself in the long term. Football, you know, like, what annoys me so much is when you're not playing, like if you're just playing on the in the playground and someone's kind of goal hanging, right? So you're not playing the offside rule. So they're just standing by the goal. Anyone experienced that? You know, someone's just standing by the goal and then they wait and kick the ball in. Do you do that? Are you a goal hanger? Are you sure, Luke? Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. So these rules help the game work. I don't really understand cricket, but I'm sure that there's some rules in cricket as well that mean that it helps. You can't throw the stumps and throw them at the opponent, can you? Can't hit the opponent with the bat.
Stumps to where the ball's going.
Oh, yeah, that would be helpful, wouldn't it? That would be really good. But all of these rules, just in the same way that the God-ordained rules of life that we discover within Scripture, they're all there for a purpose. They're all there to make life work. They're all there so that we can enjoy life to the full. The writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us to be passionate, to follow our hearts, but to remember that there is a judge. In all of these sports, there's some kind of adjudication. There's an umpire or a referee or a line judge or some rules officials or a tournament official, and they're all there to keep the players in check, to make sure that within the confines of the game, these players are competing properly, to make sure that everyone can enjoy it. And the writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us, go and live passionately, go and live fully, but there is a judge for whom we'll all, under whom, in front of whom we'll all be held to account. And that judge is kind of like VAR, but better. That judge judges perfectly, never makes a mistake, and knows not just our actions, but the motives of each of our hearts. Are you guys doing all right? Are you all right to stay up there for another 2 minutes while I wrap up? Is that okay? Your legs aren't getting tired. You're not getting tired, even though you played football. Great, wonderful. So the amazing thing is that God doesn't leave us guessing what the rules or the laws or the regulations of life are. The truth is that for any one of us who's decided to follow Jesus, to make Jesus our Lord, he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. This is what the book of Ecclesiastes has to say about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. God says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep all of my laws. If you've decided to follow Jesus, the laws, the rules, the regulations, the boundaries that make life work, that make life abundant, aren't just something arbitrary and removed. They're something that the Spirit of God writes in our very hearts and gives us the power to follow. The gift of the Holy Spirit allows God's law to become part of who we are. It's not something that we have to resent or something that we have to dislike, but time and time in the Bible, writers of the Bible, particularly the psalmist, talk about how he's come to love the laws and the decrees and the statutes of the Lord. As the Spirit works within us, we learn to love the rules of the game of life as ordained by God. But the Bible also acknowledges that there are times when each of us falls short. There are times when either intentionally or accidentally we break the rules. And as with any rule infringement, there's a punishment. It might be that you lose a point. It might be that you get a two-shot penalty. It might be that you're out or you get a match suspension. It might be that you get a red or yellow card. But the reality is that the good news, the great news of the Christian faith is that when we fall short of the rules and the regulations as ordained by God, when we make mistakes and fall short of the way that we are called to live, as we sung in our very first song, God's grace is enough. The good news of the Christian gospel is that God comes himself in the person of Jesus Christ and takes the penalty for the rule infringement. Not just a red card or a match suspension or a two-shot penalty or a loss of a point, but he takes on all of the sin, all of the wrongdoing, all of the mistakes that we make, and he bears the penalty for each one of those on the cross, so that we are free to live, to engage in the game of life. There are a couple of other things that I wanted to say, but we're probably running out of time. But very quickly, there was one sporting story that caught my eye this week, and that was, I don't know if anyone saw the Wimbledon first round game, which was between Bernard Tomic, or Tomic, and Joe Wilfred Tsonga. Did anyone see that? So Bernard Tomic, I think he's from New Zealand, and he just didn't turn up. He was moody. In the post-match interview, I hoped to play it, but the media didn't work. He was asked, why didn't you try? He just said, well, I didn't feel like it today. I wasn't playing very well. He's been fined by whoever it is that regulates Wimbledon, I guess the Lawn Tennis Association, is that right? He's been fined all of his appearance fee, which I think is £45,000, because he walked off the court not having given it his all. In contrast to that, although the England women's football team got knocked out at the semi-finals of the World Cup, they walked off that pitch, and time again, it almost became a cliche in post-match interviews. Everyone kept saying, well, they gave it their all. They gave their heart and soul. They gave everything. They left everything out there. They're bringing nothing back with them. And the writer to Ecclesiastes is saying to us, let's not be like the moody tennis player who doesn't turn up for the match, who doesn't give his all. But in this life, let's pour our whole selves in. Let's come off the pitch of life having given it our all. And let's remember that we do all of that in front of a merciful and a gracious God who is judge of all. You guys can go and sit down, leave your props there, give them a round of applause. You can keep wearing that if you want. Does it smell? Thank you very much. I'm quickly going to pray, and then I think we're moving towards the end of our service. Lord, we thank you so much for your word that inspires us. Help each one of us to live passionately. Help each one of us to know what it is to have your rules, to have your laws, to have your statutes written on our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And when we fall short, may we accept the gift of grace. May we accept your wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, the one who came and bore the penalty for our wrongdoing. We ask all of these things in his precious name and for his glory. Amen.
Perfect. We're going to stay in that time of prayer now as the Long family are going to come and lead us in prayer. I think it's on.
Dear Lord, thank you for the summer holidays. Thank you for the fun we are going to have with friends and family. Thank you for the ice creams, beaches, camping, and playing with friends. We pray for all our teachers who have a well-deserved holiday. We pray that they will be rested for the coming year. We pray that they'll for all the young people who have taken exams. We pray that they will have good results that will help them in the future. We pray especially for those young people who are going to university. We hope it will be really fun. In your mercy. Your prayer.
Dear Lord, we pray for Christchurch. We pray for upcoming events, especially the Summer Family Fun morning today. We pray for all the groups that meet here, including babies and toddlers, the Beaver and Cub Pack, Junior Choir, Meeting Point, and the Street Pastors. We pray for those in our congregation who are suffering with illness. We pray for those who are currently in hospital and those recuperating at home. We give strength for them and their caregivers in the coming days. We remember and pray for those who cannot often come to church through disabilities or illness. They are part of our church family. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, we pray for our community of Beckenham and beyond. Thank you for all the activities we can enjoy locally, the parks, swimming pools, shops and restaurants. Thank you that we can live peacefully, happily, and safely in our area. We pray for anyone in our community who is hungry, lonely, sad, or in pain. We pray that they will know your comfort. We are sorry if we are not always the best neighbours. Please help us show your love to them with our time, gifts, and prayers. In your mercy.
Dear God, I'm sorry we have spoilt your world. Please help us to look after it better. Help us to care for the land and all it grows on, that it grows on. Help us to stop cutting down trees and polluting lakes, seas and rivers. Help us to protect wildlife and save all the animals that are in danger. In your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Perfect. We're going to sing our final song this morning, but I'm just a bit cautious of the time. So if anyone who is helping on team in the Family Fun morning today, during this song, if you make your way over to the halls, we'll just get ready and have a little time of prayer before we get started over there. But yeah, let's stand and sing our final song, which is the Creed.